This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Made the smart move of contacting Den Man and saying, can you help us with our digital side? And so he is. We'll be talking with Den very shortly. Do we have Den? We do. Den Man, what's going on, man? How are you?
Big Herb. I'm doing great.
Yeah, so what do I call you? What is your title? Are you just a content consultant at this point?
Den or Den Man. Those are good titles.
Okay.
But I go by head of content, and it involves marketing and operations. So it's content and marketing operations. Camo, head of camo. How about that?
There you go. I like that. Head of camo, Den Man, formerly the King Kong of content at the wildly successful MLBAM, MLB.com, a whole bunch of properties under that umbrella. Den, what appeals to you about the Alliance of American Football? We'll swap answers to that question. You go first.
Well, I appreciate the question. I appreciate you having me on, Michael. We had there's a lot of things about it that were appealing. And it starts with the fact that it's Charlie Ebersol, and it's his brainchild, and he knew that he needed to have credible football, not just credible football, but quality football.
Right. And sorry to interrupt, Den, but just in case people out there don't know, Charlie is the son of legendary TV executive Dick Ebersol of NBC.
Yes, of NBC and SNL and all sorts of sports properties, the Olympics. And, I mean, just a legendary path and just a wonderful advisor and guide to his son. And he has said to Charlie back in the day, Charlie went to him. He was doing a documentary on a previously unsuccessful spring football effort. And in doing the documentary, Charlie met some people. Among those was Tom Feet. And Tom, along with another Bay Area resident, Barrett Fogle, were a couple of the first early key people in terms of crafting a vision for what this thing would be. So Charlie met Tom in the course of doing his documentary. And he said, pulled Tom off to the side and wound up striking up a friendship and having conversation about if this were to happen again, what would it need to look like? And what they discussed was that the other enterprises weren't about forming a football league. They weren't really about having football on the field that looked great and that acted great and that met the eye test, the smell test, and everything else.
It was entertainment so, more than sport.
Well, it was. It was a lot of marketing glitz. This is why you put somebody like me on the marketing side, because it's less about sort of the fancy traditional bells and whistles of marketing and much more about sort of the pure sincerity and authenticity of the product you're putting on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I really believed in his approach to going in and getting Bill Polian as his co-founder. They wound up having breakfast in Cape Cod back in the day and not too long back in the day, just less than 2 years ago. And they kicked this around for 4 to 5 hours, and when they got back together, when Charlie called his father and said, not only did Bill Polian support the idea, he wants to be my co-founder and head up football. So Bill was charged with and embraced and pursued that vision for creating a football league that would be complementary to the NFL and that would supply a pipeline of not only players, but of officials and of coaches and other folks to keep the industry on its toes and effective at its very best. So you basically have what had been lacking, a laboratory for football and a developmental place for football players and coaches to get the reps that they need to turn heads and to become and to achieve the dream that they may have. I'll take a guy like Tony Romo as a decent example of an undrafted free agent who went on to have a great career. Everyone talks about Kurt Warner and people who went through this path where he was stocking groceries and doing all sorts of other things. But there was a guy like Romo who was an undrafted free agent and became a part of the Cowboys because Sean Payton happened to go to his college and said, let's take a chance on this guy. And all of a sudden he became this, the great player that he was and now the great broadcaster that he is. So this is really about having a launching pad for players and giving them an extended opportunity to prove themselves and to get some guidance and to get some game film. I saw a really good tweet today from one of the accounts that sort of tracks players in the diamonds in the rough kind of an account with thousands upon thousands of followers, and talking about, you're much better off as a player getting reps in a quality league like this than you are sitting on your couch and hoping you can turn your heads on a practice squad or in a training camp. So many would argue that this is better than being on a practice squad. And I guess the great validation of the league has come somewhat in the form of the NFL and NFL Network carrying two games a week for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's huge. And the fact that they had a national contract in hand with CBS, they're doing all their games too, right?
CBS did the opening game last night in San Antonio. We had just a touch under 30,000 fans there, and they were into every snap, and it was just a beautiful thing to see. And CBS Sports Network will carry a game today that starts in just about a half hour at Birmingham.
The Memphis Express and the Birmingham Iron.
Great, great names. Not only great names of the teams and great colors and uniforms, and the Iron are sort of a little bit more like almost a sister team of the Steelers in that Iron was a big part of what put Birmingham on the map. But they also have this style of play, and they have this helmet, black and white uniform, and this helmet that's black, matte black with no logo on the helmet. I mean, it's just a very Steelers/Browns flavor of that. Fits, we think, that part of the country, and also fits Tim Lewis and what he's about. He's a great coach. He's getting his shot to be a coach at the professional level, and he was magnificent as a coordinator and just wonderful with people. And Coach Singletary, who had a terrific run as a player with the Bears, obviously, and had some success with the 49ers, getting another crack at this and being as excited and connected and grounded as he is. It's a great combination of players with a chip on their shoulder and something to prove, and coaches who have a slow heartbeat and yet still something in their mind, some kind of unfinished business. And then the game itself, as having the NFL embrace it as, there's some things that we'd like to try that maybe make more sense. And obviously, with a guy like Polian as a brain to pick, with access to the other GMs in the league that he still has great relationships with, there's that opportunity to take some things and try them out. Like the kickoff is a good example. We don't have kickoffs.
Mm-hmm. The voice you hear is that of Din Mann. He is the head of content for the Alliance of American Football. It is commonly referred to as the Alliance. Din was the former head of content and all great things at MLB.com, talking about the Alliance. It's opening weekend for them. Din, one of the things there's two things that struck me about this immediately. One, I love that they're not trying to compete against the NFL. Only two of their eight teams are in NFL markets. Look, if they can become the G League for the NFL, am I speaking out of turn by saying that would be an ideal situation for them?
Oh, I think ideal. Maybe overstating it just a little bit, but it was the vision really is that it's complementary is the word that everybody keeps using at the NFL level and here, that it's an extension of the season. It's a bridge to the season, and it's discovery of players. But it's the kind of thing that's already going on in the NFL at the practice squad level. They're just not playing real games like this.
Right.
They're not getting that kind of action and activity. So, and you could argue that there's a way for this thing to expand that may be beyond our wildest dreams to some extent, because you look at the technology that's being applied at this level, because it's so uncomplicated by any institutional baggage whatsoever, that there is a landscape there to develop product and to develop solutions related to this sport and perhaps other sports and forms of entertainment that make it a very exciting proposition for anyone who's considering getting involved. And so that's really what we love about it. There's a warm embrace at the NFL level, and those are smart people who run the NFL and who own NFL teams. And it's a small world, as Michael. These folks are all constantly in a what have you done for me constantly kind of an environment. But the thing about Charlie is that he just has this approach of the gratitude for the opportunity and the chance to impact lives and make a difference. And you see that going on the field, and you also see it going on off the field, that I don't know that you can really put this thing in any kind of a box yet. I think that the reality is that it has a flexibility to it, but it also has a focus, that the quality of the product has to be sound, mm-hmm. and that the technology is important. So, I mean, for your listeners, maybe especially, you know, this is a thing that's in San Francisco as a headquarters for a reason. It's not just, you know, in the typical places or in the typical spaces in terms of what it's trying to become. Technology is a really important part of what we're developing and where this is headed, and that makes it very exciting.
Again, the voice you hear is that of Din Mann. He's the head of content for the Alliance of American Football, which, well, I can't say it kicked off this weekend because they don't have kickoffs. I did watch the opener last night, and again, it struck me. And I was talking with my friends Boyd and Maggie Robinson, and they were asking me all about the league, like, well, where do they get the players from, and who decides who goes where? That's where I think the Alliance has really knocked it out of the park in year one, because if you played ball in the area, the general area that AAF team happens to be in, you get allocated to that team. So therefore, like, let's take the Birmingham Iron, for instance. Guys who are at Auburn and Alabama, or maybe even the smaller schools, sure, they're not household names, but people in that region of the country know those guys. They watch them in college, and they want to follow them in their next step, and they'll be pulling for them as they try to put that tape together and get to the NFL.
Well, you're right. As an alumnus of Baylor University, sitting in the Alamo Dome last night watching Orion Stewart intercept a pass and return it, you know, almost 70 yards, was a moment of pride for people who attended my little alma mater on I-35. And that's true of every player in this alliance, that they have these connections to the communities in which they're playing. In Florida, for Steve Spurrier to be coaching a team in Orlando, that was a big part of what persuaded him to take part in the first place.
Sure.
But in the second place, a chance to pull in players from UCF and from Florida State and from Florida and Miami. And so you got players from the U playing with guys from Florida State and Florida, and you think, okay, that's a pretty interesting roster. In San Antonio, you have players playing from Texas A&M and Texas and Baylor and Oklahoma. Not Oklahoma, but they have players from UT and players from Texas A&M, players from Baylor, players from University of Houston. And it's a really interesting combination. And you start to look at the other regional ties, some of these teams, with LSU players playing up in Memphis, along with Tennessee players and Vanderbilt players and Memphis players. It's an interesting regional compilation of names that we're not talking about people who are undersized and a step slow. You're talking about people who are all conference, all American, bowl players, Division II people who just didn't get the time and the attention to really show themselves. But you're talking about 40 times that are right there with what you see at the combine. So this is just a much larger and organized combination of combines and practice squads that legitimately gives these kids and these young men a chance to play at the professional level. Someone asked whether these teams could compete against, say, Clemson, Alabama, and anybody at that sort of the top of the heap of college football. And mm-hmm. the response we get back from a scouting standpoint is that these teams would embarrass the teams in the Alliance of American Football would embarrass those teams.
Right. I've heard it's akin to the number twos on NFL rosters playing against each other.
I think it's a lot like that, Michael, and I also think that it's about not just the number two types, but it's also about them being men instead of guys attending college. And when it becomes about feeding your family, and it becomes about your career and whatever your life is beyond that, you play in a different way, and you play with a little bit of it. You play with a different urgency, and you have a year-round commitment to it, and you have professional coaches really guiding you, and it's not just this churn and this treadmill of a recruiting process. So it is an interesting intersection that maybe has been vitally missed for again, players who have that all-conference and all-America and bowl game type of resume to really go to graduate school for football and to get discovered in ways that they didn't have a platform to get discovered in before. So we have a great opportunity to influence and provide some kind of a springboard for these young men. And I can't even say how even close to how grateful I am for this.
And one of the texts that just rolled in here, Din, we're talking with Din Mann, the head of content at the Alliance of American Football, which started their season yesterday. You can catch the Birmingham Iron hosting the Memphis Express. That's on CBS Sports today, correct?
CBS Sports Network. And then after that, this evening on NFL Network, you have the Arizona Hotshots playing host to the Salt Lake Stallions. Dennis Erickson's coaching the Stallions, and Rick Neuheisel's coaching the Hotshots. And man, you see the energy in these guys just from the first whistle. It's interesting to see that already. I don't know if you caught Coach Spurrier last night, but he was mic'd up and he was fantastic. One of the clips that got the most traction was he was overheard saying, "Tell him to catch the ball this time." So play for a certain receiver, and it was just great. He was just so energized, and it was awesome to see.
So here's the text that came rolling in from the 925. I really liked what I saw last night with the AAF. From the deconstructed replay process to the opportunity for young players to showcase talent. Good guest, Herbs. You got labeled as a good guest, Dan. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to let it go to my head, just like I'm not going to let the rating from last night go to my head. I'm appreciative of that, and we still have a long way to go. But last night did give an indication of a couple of things. It gave an indication of the talent that a lot of these players have. You had a test of officials to see things in real time, and to the pace of the game, it's a 35-second clock, and those 5 seconds make a big difference. The game moves, and there are not long, awkward commercial breaks. So a lot of times, if you go to a game, it may be at a different level. You have the in-stadium breaks that are, I don't want to say they're confusing, but they don't seem natural.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really seeing a pace here that is phenomenal, and you're also seeing that things like that transparency of the officiating process are really to demonstrate. And again, this isn't something we're just doing by ourselves. These are NFL minds involved in this that have vast experience with some things that may be harder to get done at certain levels. And it's worth taking a try and putting them to the test in this format. And that did seem to resonate a lot with people when they saw that this review process included access to the decision making and to sort of the thoughts in real time as they were occurring. That was something people had not seen, and they welcomed it wholeheartedly. I think the best thing you can do is put this authentic game on the field and then give people windows into that maybe they hadn't experienced before. Again, as opposed to coming up with some other random gimmick that isn't designed to either protect the players or make the game more logical.
Again, we're talking with Din Mann, head of content for the Alliance of American Football. Follow him on Twitter at your peril. What's up with at Moose Out Front, Din?
Well, Michael, it goes way back to a movie that now sadly really, really reflects my age. But it was when Chevy Chase got to Wally World with his family finally after killing Aunt Edna and her dog on the way. They finally got there, and John Candy, may he rest in peace, was there as a security guard, and he says, "Sorry, folks, the park's closed. The Moose Out Front should have told you." And I've always treated Twitter as the place where the Moose Out Front should have told you. So I try to share with you whatever nugget comes my way that I think merits that opportunity to be seen and to enlighten society. So that's what the Moose Out Front does. And if the Moose Out Front doesn't do it or has the wrong message for you, he gets punched in the nose. There's a lot of wisdom in that film, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Does that mean next time I see you, if you say something incorrect, I can punch you in the nose?
I'm always prepared for that. You know that.
Hey, real quick, Din, before you bounce, any chance, I know we don't want to put the cart before the horse and start talking about expanding to other markets, but is that way down the road? Is that even a thought right now? And also, could you ever see an NFL team owning one of these teams and treating it like a farm team?
On the last part, I haven't even heard mention of that. I'm not sure I'd be allowed to say if I have, but I haven't heard mention of that. I'll say that in just an honest moment of exhaustion.
Okay.
The other question is a more interesting question about expansion, because it was difficult to cut some of these players without any question. And there are more players to go around to make this thing viable. But we're two games into the first weekend of a 10-week season of our inaugural season. So it's probably premature to speculate about expansion, but I can tell you there are cities that have raised their hands. There are marketplaces and college atmospheres and college players for this whole sort of allocation system that make a lot of sense for growth to occur. And we would do so if it's the right thing to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if something along those lines happened sooner than later.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a fan. Once I heard it wasn't the XFL, it made me more interested because I thought, okay, maybe they'll pay attention to actual football. And I know that that really is the focus at the Alliance is let's give them good football. And if you don't know the names on the field, you certainly know the names of the executives and the coaches. I mean, you got Troy Polamalu, Hines Ward, Mike Martz is the coach in San Diego. So if you need names, they're there. Let them suck you in because I think it is a decent product. I think it's got a chance of surviving. I wish good luck to you, Din. Before you bounce, tell the listeners, give them some website information and also the two games that are going on today and where they can find them.
Well, I'll start with download the Alliance app. It is it's revolutionary technology, and it is it will be a work in progress as all technology is. But this is bleeding edge stuff that these engineers are developing. Second, I'll say that AAF.com, also like every website, is undergoing some I mean, minute by minute updates and changes that we're in. We're excited about all of them.
You can say growing pains. That's all right.
Well, the high class problem is that you know people start to come to you and they pay attention. They have certain expectations.
Yeah, right.
So we're trying to deliver on all of those and more, and try to anticipate what the ones that haven't been raised yet. So, you know, we have AAF.com and we have at the AAF on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook and on YouTube. So, you know, we're everywhere that we hope the fans are, and we're sharing our content with as many people as we can to get it out there. Our partners are fabulous, from Turner and Bleacher Report and BR Live and House of Highlights to CBS and CBS Sports to NFL Network. It's a great list of content partners that we have.
No doubt about it. And the other games today, Dan?
Tonight it's Arizona, where I am today, and I'm going to go to that game here in a little bit. But we have Arizona playing against Salt Lake, and that's tonight on NFL Network. And we have Birmingham at Memphis starting in about 20 minutes. And they're playing Legion Field, so you talk about the Alabama tradition, everything that goes on there. It's a great, I got to say, it's we're kind of pinching ourselves, and yet every time a team plays a home game, it's 20% of their home schedule. So,
right.
You know, these are chunks of yards that we're going for every week, not inches.
Well,
but I'm honored to be your guest, and anytime you want me, I'm available. You know that. And I wish you the best of luck, too, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so far, so good. They're on the right track, no doubt. They've hired the right people, and we will be talking to you soon, Din. Take care.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, it's Din Mann of the Alliance of American Football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.